coming in as Loeb. Go with Dyke Center net.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here it is, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get at it. It is the day before the trade deadline. Welcome to Flames Talk on this Wednesday, March 6th. By that, I mean Thursday, March 6th. You know how I am with days and counting and stuff like that. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
You know, the amazing part is when you corrected yourself, I first thought you might have had the month wrong. So we're both on top of it.
I might have said May. I don't even know. let's try that again. It is Thursday, March 6th. It's Steinberg and Wes on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. The trade deadline, as we're talking right now, it is just after 3 o'clock Mountain Time. The trade deadline is Friday at 1 o'clock Mountain Time. This hour of Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Happy trade deadline's eve, Wes.
Well, thank you. Pretty exciting stuff. Is it going to be exciting, though, Pat? That's what the people want to know.
I'm sure that the deadline itself will be exciting. I don't know if it's going to be exciting from a Flames standpoint. We shall see. The Flames have made a signing on this Thursday. They have signed goaltender Connor Murphy, who was on an AHL deal to a two-way NHL deal for the rest of the season. Now, they really like him. They want some depth. I know they're not, they're just a little... Overall, a little worried about the goaltending depth with the way things have gone in the American League. Ignatiev hasn't necessarily been great. Cooley's game has dropped a little bit, and Murphy they really like. He's going to stay in Rapid City of the ECHL for the time being, but the important thing here, and the reason I bring that up, is because the messaging is that this is not related to anything Dan Vladar. This has no impact on Dan Vladar's trade status or status between now and Friday's trade deadline. So, you know, I know Vladar is one of the names that people are talking about. Vladar starting Thursday night in Dallas against the Stars. So and that also gives you an indication as to where things are, and also gives you an indication as to what they're thinking about Vladar between now and the trade deadline. So that's a little bit of news, but yeah, here we are. It's trade deadline's eve.
And just circle back really quick on Connor Murphy. He remains an interesting prospect, project. I don't know what you want to call him. He's a big dude. He's 26 years old already. So, you know, we're not talking about just a kid. Came through the college route. My best guess whenever you get this sort of, okay, we've got this guy on an AHL level contract and now we've turned it into a two-way NHL deal. My best educated guess in that scenario is always that there's probably another organization that was sniffing around that was willing to make that offer, and that's completely within the rules. Certainly,
yes, you can sign another guy
who's not on an NHL deal. And so, especially with the work that Jordan Siglett and his goaltending department have done, the way that they've been able to identify talent, I think teams maybe would have looked and said, there might be something here. Maybe there's an organization with some injury issues or what have you. That's my best guess here. This isn't a Dan Vladar out and Connor Murphy in scenario by any stretch. We're talking about a guy who's barely played any games at the AHL level, let alone being ready for an NHL call-up. I think 19 appearances in the A so far, but tidy sort of depth move, and let's see where it goes from there.
So, and honestly, everything that you're hearing right now, even listening to Elliot on the big show on Thursday morning, I'm just not expecting a Dan Vladar trade between now and I'm just not between now and Friday. I think that the value of the Flames getting into the playoffs and the offers that they have gotten, which I don't think have been substantial, I just think they look at it and say, this doesn't make any sense. You know, we can talk extension after the season, or we can let him walk at the end of the season, but the tandem is working right now. They're going to split starts on this six-game road trip. They're going to go 3 Vladar and 3 Wolf, and I think that's significant, and I think tells you exactly how this team is feeling about their goaltending tandem. So based on everything that I've heard and everything that I have, every messaging that's been given to me, so on and so forth, I don't think that Vladar is a guy they are actively looking to move between now and Friday afternoon.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the calls to trade Vladar earlier in the season were sort of twofold. One of them was that Dan Vladar wasn't performing very well for the Calgary Flames. I think going back to finally getting that victory in Seattle, and then obviously his performance at the start of this road trip, like, he has turned that around, and so that gives you a little more confidence that you can put him in there. And the other thing is, a lot of people who were saying, okay, well, it's time to move Vladar, were pointing to what Devin Cooley was doing in the AHL. And as you said, it has not been great lately. It's not been great for the Calgary Wranglers, period. They're certainly feeling the effects of all the call-ups and subtractions from their roster, but Devin Cooley has a sub 900 save percentage in 6 of his past 7 starts. And so we're not, when you talk about wanting to have that next guy ready for the opportunity, we're certainly not talking about a Devin Cooley who would be feeling very good about his game as a call up at this point right now. And I think especially in the thick of a wild card chase, you're not calling up a guy who's quite frankly getting shelled in the AHL to be your backup goalie down the stretch. And I think that combined with the sort of lackluster or underwhelming offers that they are receiving for Dan Vladar, I think that just sort of heightens the motivation to keep him.
Yep. It's been a decent year for the 26-year-old. So that's a little bit of Flames news. So, okay, what does this trade deadline look like for the Flames? I know that is the overwhelming and the nonstop question that fans on our text line, fans on social media, so on and so forth, are talking about right now. And so I thought for this hour, to kick off the hour, it's Pat and Wes on Flames Talk, the day before the deadline. We could kind of go through all the different potential outcomes or the different potential roads they could go down and just spend a little time on each of them. Flames have remained quiet to this point. Less than 24 hours, we're talking right now from the deadline. Flames have not done anything transaction-wise or involving another team since the January 31st deal with Philly to bring in Frost and Farabee. So what are their potential paths here? What do we think of each one? I guess the first one is the one that I think you and I are on the same page on. There's a very good chance the Flames are quite quiet and they are, you know, a team that does nothing or very little between now and Friday afternoon. Like that seems like something that is fairly likely in this regard. Hey,
yeah. If you fast forward 24 hours, I just have a hard time, buddy, picturing a scenario where you and Logan are breaking down a massive Flames trade tomorrow. I really just have a hard time imagining that. I think that's based on, well, it's based on a few things. It's based on the fact that Craig Conroy is telling everybody who will listen and then reiterating the next day that he doesn't have a lot of interest in shopping those leadership parts. That, you know, you hear talk about the 6 guys who are tasked with sort of leading this group, and any of those who'd be appealing in a trade, whether that's Nazem Kadri or Blake Coleman, Rasmus Anderson, we keep hearing over and over, no, not interested. And so the second part of that is, well, if the Flames are shopping, what are they looking for? Well, they're looking for a player probably under 25, certainly under 26 or 27, somebody with some team control, like not somebody who's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Those just aren't the pieces that get moved on deadline day.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to be talking tomorrow about Brock Nelson and Kyle Palmieri and whomever the sort of rental parts are, and I don't say we're going to be talking about them in any way, shape, or form related to the Flames. Like the guys who are going to get moved, the guys who are going to fill hours of TV tomorrow are older, experienced rentals. And the Flames, quite frankly, aren't in that market. If Craig Conroy can find a bargain on a depth piece who can maybe help a little bit with the playoff push, I could see him doing it, but the price has to be pretty minuscule. And so not expecting prices to be low, not expecting a bunch of 20-somethings to be on the move, not expecting Craig Conroy to be very tempted to remove guys off his roster, the pending UFAs, even the bit players like Rooney and Hanley, those guys would be tough to replace down the stretch, and I don't think he has interest in sending that message to the room. And so it just all adds up to me as probably a pretty quiet day.
Yeah, and I mean, that doesn't mean that Craig Conroy is going to turn off his phone, go out late tonight in Dallas, wake up at noon tomorrow, and then kind of half-ass it the rest of the way. No, that's not. But I think the Flames are prepared to be very quiet between now and Friday, because I think that they feel like the roster that has gotten them to a playoff spot on March 6th, the day before the trade deadline, is the roster that they'd be comfortable finishing off the season with. And if they can, and we'll get into some of the other potential roads they could go down, if they can explore other things and prices aren't completely ridiculous, or if they don't feel like they're going to have to be giving up too much, then I think they'll do it. But as you said, I'm not expecting prices to be low in the next 20 hours or so.
In the Brad Treliving era, I'm sure I wrote the same quote down 100 times over, and that, you know, Brad always said, you take your cues from your team, right? Around the deadline, you take your cues from your team. And what cues has Craig Conroy received from the current cast of Calgary Flames? The cues he's received are, this is a team that's in, this current group has managed to put itself in a playoff chase. Quite frankly, against long odds, nobody gave them any chance of being in the spot that they are now, and look at them. So one of the cues you're taking is, okay, well, these guys have earned the right to kind of see that through. But I think the cue that he's also received from them in the losses, especially recently to Tampa and Florida and Carolina, is it's going to, you know, we're talking rabbit out of a hat if you think you're getting in as the 8th seed and steamrolling a bunch of top contenders. Like, you, hey, could it happen? I suppose, but you haven't, when you talk about receiving cues, you haven't necessarily earned the right to add three big pieces to that roster either, right? You're right.
Yeah.
You're kind of in the middle. We know that the Flames are trying to escape the middle, but you don't escape it on deadline day. This is not a team that is one piece away from contending for a Stanley Cup title. And so the cue, I think, to Craig Conroy is, you kind of sit tight. Maybe you nibble. Maybe you do something small, but I just don't think the type of moves that Craig Conroy is after. I don't think the type of moves that make sense for the big picture direction of the Calgary Flames are the moves that get done on that day of insanity in March when everyone starts flipping picks for rentals.
So here are some other, and we've kind of broached them already, but here's some. First of all, last year they were very quiet at the trade deadline, like actually on deadline day, because all their big moves had been made prior. I believe the only trade they made on deadline day last year was Nikita Ochocinc.
Yes.
Forever a Flame, Nikita
Forever
Ochocinc.
A Flame. Still
their property.
Still Flames property.
But other they re-signed Kevin Rooney on a one-year deal, but otherwise there was not much. Okay, so they could do the, and you touched on this briefly, but kind of like a soft sell, and by that they could, you know, trade away some pending unrestricted free agents, or guys that you know, or more fringe players that could be depth elsewhere and see if you could bring in some mid or low level assets the other way. I think about Joel Hanley. He's been brought up a lot. I know Elliot Friedman talked about him on 32 Thoughts and on the big show on Thursday morning. There's Joel Hanley. There's Daniil Miramanov, who I think they'd like to find a place for. Kevin Rooney, maybe Martin Pospa. So like nibbling around the edges moves for other teams. That's what I call a soft sell, if you will.
My apologies for missing this, but what did Elliot say on the big show about Joel Hanley?
Basically, same thing he said on 32 Thoughts. You know, there's teams wondering of all the non-big names, he's the guy that's maybe getting the most interest right now. But unless like the deals or the offers aren't good enough for them to move a guy that's right now playing every night with Mackenzie Weegar.
Yeah. It's easy for me to say that I'd rather see a young guy in that spot next to Mackenzie Weegar, or I'd rather see a young guy mixed into the roster. They returned Ilya Solovyov today to the American Hockey League. He doesn't seem to have gained the trust of the coaching staff and his limited opportunities at the NHL level so far. You know, I wonder about Yan Kuznetsov. It's really easy for me to sit here and say I'd like to see a young guy in that spot, but I think because of the way Joel Hanley has sort of established himself as the best partner for Mackenzie Weegar, at least of the internal options, I just can't imagine them taking that fourth or fifth round pick and thinking, okay.
All of a sudden, somebody's got a second round pick on the table.
You have
Joel
to.
Hanley.
You have
that's,
to.
That's a different conversation, but I don't know if those
I don't
are out
there.
So there's kind of the soft sell. I think we can write off the hard sell. They're going to be at worst in a playoff spot, tied for one, when the trade deadline hits. Like there is a guarantee they will. Well, I guess I'm just going to take a look. No, yeah, because St. Louis does not play on Thursday, and the Blues have now lost Colton Parayko for possibly the rest of the season. But there is a guarantee the Flames will be tied for a playoff spot. Or in one, in sole possession of one at the trade deadline. So I think that we can, as much as people want the because of the prices being paid and all of that, and the ransom they could get, I think we can pretty much write off the hard sell and moving out the big name players. They don't have the big name UFAs
right. They
had last year. Last year was a hard sell year. Hanifin, Tanev, Zadorov, and Lindholm were all pending UFAs. That was different. Their pending UFAs are of the lower impact variety this year. So, you know, if they were going to be hard selling, it would be guys under contract for the next year and beyond. And I just don't think I don't think that we're anticipating that.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important point that you raise, is that they don't have the obvious sell-off pieces. Last year, they had a bunch of guys approaching UFA. They were in a similar situation that the Hurricanes find themselves in with Rantanen, where they didn't have an answer, or maybe they had the answer and knew it wasn't going their favor, and so they looked to make a move. We're not talking about impact UFAs. Like you said, Kevin Rooney, Joel Hanley, these are guys that, if acquired by a contender, would be acquired to sit in the press box until they were necessary. They wouldn't be going into the every night lineup. And then, you know, we talked about back in the fall, we talked about, oh, well, you know, here's your sort of pump and dump candidates. Well, Tyson Barry hasn't panned out. He cleared waivers in the American Hockey League, and Anthony Mantha unfortunately suffered a season-ending knee injury. So you just don't have pieces. Like I think Craig Conroy is probably trying to work the phones to see what's out there, but I actually don't think Craig Conroy is getting a ton of calls. I don't think he has a lot of guys that, having made quite clear that he's not interested in talking on Anderson right now, that he wants to see where that extension conversation goes in the summer, having made it quite clear that he sees Nazem Kadri as a big piece of what he's doing moving forward, I doubt Conroy is having trouble keeping up with the offers.
Yeah. They could do, you kind of talked about the nibbling. They could do that. They could go down that road. And they could go find a rental who could help on their third pair or could, you know, a potential fourth line center. We talked about we talked about some potential names like Luke Kunin's getting held out of this game that San Jose is going to play on Thursday night. Lots of guys are getting held out around the league. So you've got some options there. We talked about Ty Dellandrea or Sam Lafferty or whatever way you want to go down that road. You could make that type of move.
Yeah.
And those aren't necessarily rentals, but I would call that kind of the soft buy, right? Like you bring in some pieces to help you around the edges, not going to put you over the top, but probably does make you a little deeper and slightly better.
Yeah. And the one spot that I could see them doing that is right-handed center. I think it's a possibility, certainly, as you point out, that they would look at a left-handed defenseman to sort of add to their depth. As I said earlier, I'd prefer personally, now I don't make the decisions, I'd prefer personally to see Ilya Solovyov get a more serious look, or for Yan Kuznetsov, like let's find out what these kids are. But yeah, you
wouldn't could shock me, by the way, if they were to bring up Kuznetsov at some point after they're back home. Like
yeah.
if they were to bring Kuznetsov up prior to Saturday's game, wouldn't be
makes
a surprise
a lot of sense.
At
yeah.
all.
I think right-handed center is the one spot that makes some sense for a rental, because you don't have it in your organization. You wouldn't be overlooking someone obvious on the farm. You just don't have a right-handed face-off man. And I would assume that Ryan Huska is absolutely begging Craig Conroy to get one. They need to be able to win some face-offs on half of the ice in their defensive zone. And so that's one I think I'd shy away at spending more than about a fourth-round pick, but that's one spot that I could see a rental.
And the final road they could go down, they could make the big swing. They could go and make the big, big swing. You know, on Wednesday's show,
feels,
we gave our big
feels
swings.
Like big swing weather out there today.
Oh, it does. It feels, yeah. You know what? The Calgary Cannons, they could be throwing out first pitch at 7:05 tonight over at the former Foothills Stadium,
yeah,
which doesn't exist anymore, which is heartbreaking. That's another story. That's for another time. But we talked on Wednesday. We both had Bowen Byram as our big swing. Well, I'll add one more, and that's Mikko Rantanen. And Vix and I talked about Rantanen last week, and I fully believe the Flames will chase Rantanen as an unrestricted free agent if he gets there. Everything I understand is that the Flames would have plenty of interest and all of the financial means to be able to put a meaningful, competitive offer on the table for a guy like Rantanen. And there are reports from, you know, some of the different insiders that not only are Carolina weighing their options as to whether or not they're going to keep Rantanen, even if he's not signed. It sounds like he's not going to sign before Friday's deadline. So do they keep him, take their chances, and maybe lose him? Do they trade him and flip him and see if they can bring in other assets and he'd be a real short-term rental for him? I don't know. But the reports are that, you know, the Rantanen camp, if it's the right team, would be interested in signing an extension with the team that acquires him immediately, a la Mark Stone when he was acquired in 2019. 2019 by the Vegas Golden Knights. He immediately signed that contract with Vegas as soon as he was brought in from Ottawa. You know, I don't think that this is going to happen, but, you know, part of me is like, Rantanen, hey? Could you give him, could you throw 8x14.5 on the table right now and acquire him for the rest of the season and get him locked in for the next 8 years? I mean, again, I'm not really expecting that to happen, but there is that road. There's always that road they could go down.
Yeah, no. That it's not, this team, this organization is not at a point, hey, chase Mikko Rantanen like hell in the summer. I'm all for it. But to give up the sort of assets it would require to bring Rantanen in, like to jump the market, and I understand the appeal of it, then you get him extended and
you don't have to, you're not in a bidding war.
If Carolina gets what I think they're asking for, or if Carolina winds up getting close to what they paid for Rantanen in the return for him, I don't think the Flames are actually furthering their cause very much by making a deal like that. Now, if what it would take is, you know, a big contract older player, like if Carolina wants to go all in and try to trade for somebody who doesn't necessarily fit that age bracket that the Flames are looking at, maybe then. But I got to tell you, this idea of giving up multiple assets to try to jump the market on Rantanen, I don't think they're close enough to consider it.
You're no fun. The only reason, because most of what you said I agree with, but the players like Rantanen don't hit free agency very often.
Yeah.
And if you can guarantee that you're going to get them by giving up assets, I think I'd be okay with it. Now, again, I'm not expecting that to happen. Yeah. I'm really not. But I know the Flames will be interested, or I firmly believe the Flames will be interested.
Well, and they should be, and they have the cap space. They certainly have the need. It makes sense on a lot of levels. You know, Mikko Rantanen might like mountains, and these ones are, in my humble opinion, better than the ones near Denver. So it makes some sense.
On the right side of the border, anyway.
Yeah. Well, they stick to sports, Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Psst, stick to sports.
Don't dare mention the color orange either.
I just don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Well, you know what? I don't think you make any sense, Wes.
No, I rarely do. In written or spoken form.
Specifically written.
Yeah.
Do not read this rambling trap. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He's the best in the business.
It's okay. It's okay.
He's the best in the business. Take it. Hey, look, I don't think they're I don't think that we're gonna see a Rantanen.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not anticipating it, but damn, that would be pretty cool. And I would get the reasoning. And I do feel like you might be able to get him for cheaper than what Carolina paid, just because I hate to use this term for a human being and a hockey player, but it's like, okay, you go out and you buy your new car. You go on the lot, you buy your new car. And you drive that sucker off the lot and it depreciates 20% or whatever it is as soon as it's off the lot. And you love that thing. You're driving the crap out of it. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy, I can't afford these payments and the insurance. I got to sell this thing. You bought it for $65,000. And now the best that you're going to be listing it for is $49,000. So you've taken the loss on it already. That's kind of what I feel like the Rantanen situation is in Carolina. If they are going to move them, I don't think they're getting the equivalent of what they gave up. By the way, I've never done that with a car, but like I know people have, so that's I've never bought a car off the lot.
I mean, the way you drive, I'm sure they depreciate quite quickly.
I have been known to be a little heavy on the gas.
Not me, buddy. I'm surprised I got downtown for 3 o'clock today. Just out there cruising. Out there cruising. Let me just ask you this quick. Like, would you be nervous about the fact that Rantanen, up to this point, won't sign an extension?
I mean, if I'm Carolina, yes. If I get a guarantee, like if I work it out and the deal is signed before he's dealt or agreed to in principle, then I'm a little less worried. Again, like Mark Stone signed like 40 minutes after he was acquired by Vegas.
Right.
It'd have to be something like that where Craig Conroy knows the deal's getting done. Otherwise, then you're going in and trying your hand in free agency if he gets there.
It'd be a minimum of two of what would be your more important supporting pieces, no?
Yeah, I would suggest probably a high pick in there too.
Yeah, like they turn around and ask for Zary Anderson and a top 60 pick.
Yeah, something like that probably. Maybe not Anderson, but I honestly don't know.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, it's the eve of the trade deadline. It's Pat and Wes this hour on Flames Talk. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, now a Thursday Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why minutes from the Calgary Airport. It's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, and now Derek Wills joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable. It'll be Dan Vladar getting the start Thursday as the Flames wrap up their six-game road trip against the Dallas Stars. And so, with Vladar getting the start, it'll be three for Wolf and three for Vladar on this trip. I don't think any of us had that on our bingo card coming in, but the way both guys have played, in a positive way, it makes nothing but sense when you think about it. I was curious to see if they were going to go Vladar in this finale, especially when you take a look at how Dustin played in his last start against the Stars. They do indeed go with Vladar. What's our reaction to Dan Vladar being the guy to close out this trip?
A little bit surprised. I said before the start of the trip that I thought Dustin Wolf would get four of the six games, and not only was that about what games he would get. I didn't think he would get the opening game of the road trip in Washington, but you know, Dan Vladar was great in that 3-1 win of the Capitals, one of the Flames' signature wins of the season, I would say. And both guys have been fantastic. I think the Flames' two best players five games into this season-long six-game road trip. Megan Mickelson and I were walking over to American Airlines Center for the morning skate today. I said, "Hey, Mick, Dustin Wolf tonight?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, I think so too." And then we got there, and there was Dan Vladar in the starter's net. I suppose we shouldn't be that surprised, because Vladar, if he wasn't the best player on the ice in that 3-1 win over the Capitals last Tuesday, he was certainly one of them for the Flames. And I think he was the best player on the ice in their 3-0 loss to the Panthers in Sunrise on Saturday. So, you know, he's earned another opportunity to play. And to your point, Dustin Wolf had one of the worst outings of his season, lowest save percentage in a game this season, when he gave up 6 on 28 in the Flames 6-2 loss to the Stars here in Dallas back on December 8th. Now, if I remember, that was a 2-2 game through two. Flames were right there, and then the Stars just bulldozed them in the third period. It looked like the Flames hit a bit of a wall in the final 20 minutes of that hockey game, but got away from the Flames in the final 20. But, you know, both guys have been fantastic on this trip. After a busy stretch with six games and 12 days on this road trip, the Flames have a little bit lighter week. So they probably want to keep both guys going, because they're going to need both guys between now and the end of the road.
I don't expect the Flames to ever come out and say this publicly, but I do believe, guys, that there's some concern about Dustin Wolf starting to wear out leading into the Four Nations break. Like, I don't think we were imagining things to be observing. I suppose that there seemed to be some rust there, that he didn't seem to have his usual sharpness. I know coming out of the break, Ryan Huska was asked about that and said, "No, I wouldn't use that as an excuse for him. I don't see that as a concern." But I do think if you ask the same question behind closed doors, you might hear a different answer. I do think that's a little bit of concern. And I think that's why you are going to see a little bit more Dan Vladar. I think with his work already on this trip, he's shown that he's deserving or ready for more opportunities. But I think there is a little concern when you look at it and say, are we really comfortable with playing Wolf the amount that we were playing him leading into the Four Nations break down the stretch, especially if that means then we're going to need him every second night in a playoff series? And so I think you look at what happened last time he was in Dallas, you look at the recent body of work from Dan Vladar, and I suppose the more I think about it, it makes sense that it would be Vladar tonight in his 100th career appearance at the NHL level. I think this is about Dustin Wolf and just making sure that fatigue doesn't become a factor.
And I also think, you know, Wilsey, you asked Ryan Huska on Thursday morning about kind of his thought process or the coaching staff's thought process in making these calls. And
you know, Dan Vladar's never lost against Dallas. He's 2-for-2 in his career. Now, granted, not the greatest numbers, but he does have 2 wins and 0 losses in 2 career starts against them. And the other thing is, I this has been talked about a little bit, I also think the Flames like to go Vladar, the bigger body, against some of those bigger, heavier teams, and that's exactly what the Stars are. And so you throw that into the mix, the fact that, yes, I think they need to keep both guys fresh. I mean, they're essentially on like a 8-game road trip is really what this is, because they started in Calgary and then they're going to have Friday as a travel day. Then they play an early game on Saturday, which is probably going to feel like they're going to know they're at the dome. They're going to get last change, but the legs will still feel like they're on a trip, you would imagine. So like there has been next to no rest since they came out of this Four Nations break. It's been every second day plus a back to back in there. So yeah, they need to keep both guys fresh. They need to be managing both guys' energy levels. You also add on Vladar's record against the Stars and the fact that he's the bigger guy. And they do seem to have moved into a mindset where against some of those heavier teams, they like to play Vladar. So, you know, I'm less surprised by it now. Had you told me going into the trip, it's going to be 3-3 and Vladar's going to get Florida, Washington, and Dallas, I say, yeah, okay, yeah, right. But now that we saw him play against Washington and have success and then also have that spectacular game against Florida, it makes a whole lot more sense they're going to go with them in this game. So I actually kind of like the decision, and we'll see what Vladar's got against the Stars.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I predicted it would be 4 starts for Wolf and 2 starts for Vladar before the trip started. But if you had held my feet to the fire and said, okay, is it going to be 5-1 for Wolf, or is it going to be 3-3 with Vladar getting half the starts? I probably would have said 5-1 for Wolf. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The team, for the most part, has been playing well in front of their goaltenders on this trip, even in losses to the Lightning and the Hurricanes. I think there was a lot to like. That the Panthers game was the only real stinker on this trip. But the goaltenders, I really do think they've been, if not the 2 best players, then 2 of the best players for the Flames in the first 5 games of this season-long 6-game trip. And yeah, I think there were probably a lot of factors going into this. Vladar's record against the Stars, Wolf giving up 6-28 in his only career start here in Dallas back in December 8th. But it feels like the Flames can't go wrong with a goaltending choice. And guys, a week or two ago, I'm not sure we're having this conversation, but Dan Vladar has had a nice stretch here. And I don't think it's a 1A, 1B. I don't think it's that type of true tandem again. But good for Vladar for finding his game and for helping the Flames win some games here.
Yeah, and I think it's crucial for Dan Vladar to treat every one of these starts like an audition for more of them. Like while I talk about the concern about making sure that Dustin Wolf doesn't show some fatigue, that he doesn't get worn out down the stretch, I think one of the reasons, in addition to how well Dustin was playing, one of the reasons that the goaltending split became so lopsided going into the Four Nations break is that Dan Vladar wasn't playing very well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he showed in Washington that you could count on him to play more, right? Like, he's continued to show on the road trip, and this is another opportunity for him to do that. I think we're at the point with Dan Vladar that he can't afford a bad one, or it could be a while before he gets back in again. But as you've both said, they're going to need both guys. I mean, yeah, we're not talking about a 5-game sprint to the finish. They've got 21 left to play. It's a lot of hockey.
And
And it's funny, guys, because at the start of the season, talking to some people, I got the sense that there was some concern that this tandem would work. You know, Dan Vladar is still a relatively young goaltender and has wanted to have an opportunity to prove that he could be in a tandem or even a number one in this league. And I think we all knew that if it wasn't this season, that at some point in time, Dustin Wolf was going to emerge as the goaltender of the present and of the future. But based on what I've heard, and I've heard this from a number of people around the team, the relationship between Dustin Wolf and Dan Vladar really has grown this season and is quite strong. And they're very supportive of one another. We've talked a lot about the internal competition in this organization and on this team, and we've seen that between the pipes for a good chunk of the season. So I think that internal competition is healthy.
And Dan Lindegaard gets to start tonight. You know Dustin Wolf would like to be out there. So I think it's going to keep both guys on their toes.
And just in full disclosure, I believe that both Aaron Vickers and myself said 5-1 is what we're anticipating on the trip. So that's what I said going in. So I didn't see 3-3 going into it. And that's exactly what it's going to be when it's all said and done. It's our Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg on this Thursday edition of Flames Talk. And it is our final day before the trade deadline. Things will be a little bit different on the Flames Talk podcast feed on Friday just because it is deadline day. We don't know what the Flames are going to do. We don't know how busy they're going to be. As we're talking right now, it's probably like 21 hours between as we're talking and when the deadline hits. But, gents, how would we feel if when it's all said and done, the Flames do nothing at all, or kind of like what they did at last year's deadline, like very little? Nikita Ochocinc was their only acquisition at last year's deadline. If it's another really quiet one for the Flames, how would we feel about that?
Nikita Ochocinc, I completely forgot about him.
Forever a Flame, Willsie.
Pretty impressive pull. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's going to appear, you know, in the preseason when we get the lineups and there's like 4,000 scratches of guys who played for the Flames when they were still in Atlanta. I'm sure he'll be on that list.
He'll be there.
We call that Piker Christmas.
Yeah. I don't expect them to be super busy, but I've had a couple of conversations with Craig Conroy while the team's been on the road, and he basically said, it's not busy right now, but you never know. One phone call could change all of that. I don't see the Flames being in the short-term rental market unless, you know, something shakes loose where they feel like they can maybe add a left-shot defenseman or, you know, find a right-shot center to play on their fourth line and on their penalty kill for a super low price. Then, you know, maybe they do something like that just to reward the players for where they're at, and that's sitting in a Stanley Cup playoff spot 61 games into the season when no one saw that coming, or very few people saw that coming. But I guess it really depends if there's a deal out there that's more of a hockey trade, something like the one they made with the Flyers, where you bring in two guys who I still think are clear upgrades to your roster in the present and in the future, and Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost, a couple of former first-round picks. And I know they haven't had all that much success, although I thought both guys had strong games against their former team, the Flyers in Philadelphia, a couple of nights ago. You know, if there's that type of trade out there where the Flames can help themselves now and help themselves later, then I think Conroy would be open to making that type of move. But doesn't it kind of feel like those trades tend to happen more often during the offseason, during the regular season?
Yeah, it absolutely feels that way. And that's why I expect it to maybe even be quieter than deadline day last year. And that's no disrespect to Nikita Ochocinc or the 9 memorable appearances he made in the Flames uniform. But I wouldn't be stunned if we see the deadline pass without anything out of the Saddle Dome or out of Craig Conroy and the rest of the brass. Now, would I be surprised if we saw a depth addition like a right shot center? No, but I think, you know how the national broadcasts fill all that airtime on deadline day? I just don't think they're talking very much about the Calgary Flames. I just don't think that this is going to be a big news day for Conroy and the Flames.
Yeah, and honestly, guys, I'd be super okay with that. Like, you know, there have been years where I think, and they're, I'm not trying to take a shot at anybody involved here when I say this, but you know, 2019, the Flames were having that ridiculous year under Bill Peters with Johnny Monahan and Lindholm, and I believe their deadline day acquisition, because they missed out on Stone. I believe it was Oscar Fantenberg. I believe that was the guy that they brought in to really bolster the lineup that year. And that's not a shot at Brad Treliving, nor is it a shot at Oscar Fantenberg. But like, that was a year when people were like, okay, what are the Flames going to do?
What was that, the Shore year as well?
I think that was another year. Okay. If I remember correctly.
Nick Shore?
There was a Nick Shore. They did Devin and Nick Shore. They acquired both of those guys prior to deadlines in different years.
Really?
Yeah. I believe so. But
I bring that name up because, you know, that was a year where maybe you could make the argument, like, yeah, go get a rental. Like, you know, this is a year where you could. And then a couple of years ago, they brought in Yarncroke and they brought in Toffoli, not necessarily on deadline day, but they brought those guys in as kind of help you type moves.
Drew Shore,
not dead. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Sorry, you had me. You had my Google head spinning.
Too many shores. But this is not a year where they need to do that. And so if they don't go and get somebody for a team that is one of the lowest scoring teams in the NHL and wasn't supposed to be here by most metrics, and them being where they are was, this is awesome. Like, they're not saying we don't like this, but this was not like a non-negotiable for the organization. They, like Craig Conroy and Don Maloney and the rest of that management group saying, weren't saying coming into this season, we need to be in the playoffs or bust. And as such, they're in a playoff spot right now and are deserving to be there. But if they don't go out and bolster this lineup and give up future assets to do so, I don't think anybody's going to say, oh boy, they really failed at this trade deadline. Now, the other side of that is, you know, there's a lot of people who say, well, look at all the prices people are paying for players right now. The Flames need to be selling some of their veterans. There's a really massive opportunity here. And at the same time, they're in a playoff spot. And can you make that type of deal? Like, what type of message does that send to the locker room if you trade away veteran forward X or veteran defenseman Y? Is that the right message to send? And I can understand their mindset there. Long story short, gents, if they don't do anything or if they're very, very quiet again, I think that is a really strong message to send to, you know, Blake Coleman talked about it on Thursday morning and others have talked about it. Like, that's a really good message to send this veteran group and this group of young players. Like, hey, we believe in you. No, we didn't go out and bolster this because it's not the time for that. But we also didn't subtract because we believe in what you've done so far through three quarters of the season. So go show us what you can do in the final quarter of the season and let's see where the chips fall. I don't mind that message at all.
There are a couple of things I'm wondering about. I guess a few things. Again, do they feel like there's a guy out there who they can get for a reasonable price who would be an upgrade on defense, probably a left shot because they've got a bunch of righties, or is there a right-handed centerman who could play on their fourth line and on their penalty kill? Those are, you know, two moves I think they could make for a really reasonable price. The other thing I'm wondering about, what does a team like the Sabres do? It feels like there's some pressure there to do something because what they've been doing for the last decade and a half hasn't been working. So do they feel the pressure to make a move? And if they do, can you take advantage of that and maybe get a player in his early to mid 20s who, again, could help you now, but could help you for a long time to come. And then the third thing I wonder about with the Flames, because we're seeing a bunch of these three team trades. If I'm not mistaken, and please correct me if I'm wrong, guys, because you might have it up in front of you, but I believe the Flames have the second most available salary cap space right now. Is that right?
Yeah, they've got a copious amount of salary cap space right now. Zero,
right.
Zero way they could use it all between now and Friday at 1 p.m.
Yeah, and they're in a very enviable position when it comes to cap space. And there are a number of teams in this league that have none or next to none that would probably like to make a move between now and tomorrow's deadline. Do the Flames get some calls about that? And can they bring in, I don't know, picks, players, maybe a combination of the two to weaponize that cap space? I'm not saying that they go down the road that the Coyotes did by basically taking on a bunch of bad contracts, but maybe you take on a contract that isn't great for one team, but isn't bad for you because you've got way more room to work with than they do. And you bring in some additional assets over and above that. So, you know, a few things I do wonder about. And, you know, the teams with cap space, they will have an opportunity to use that because there are too many teams that don't have it that would like to do something between today and tomorrow's deadline that might have to get a third team involved. And we've already seen some of those trades. So I wonder if the Flames could be in the mix to help somebody else out and help themselves out at the same time.
And we will find all of these answers out in the next number of hours going into Friday's 1 p.m. Calgary time deadline. One game before then, that's the game against the Stars on Thursday night. For now, that'll wrap us up on the Daily Flames Roundtable. And Wilsey, maybe we'll reconvene and see what we can do on Friday and break down what the Flames did on deadline day. For now, though, have a wonderful rest of your Thursday.
Okay, guys, enjoy the game tonight.
He is Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up this hour. Thanks to Taylor Dingman, Cam Hughes, our outstanding producers. And that'll wrap us up on the Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why minutes from the Calgary Airport.
This is Flames Talk.
And that'll wrap us up this hour on the program. Hey, go get us wherever you get it. Well, how long will today's first hour stay relevant? We'll see. Sometimes at this time of year, they stay relevant for like 14 seconds.
Yeah.
Sometimes they stay relevant for the next 24, 48 hours. We shall see.
I actually thought last night when my phone started to buzz, I thought, And when I say buzz, that was with some Twitter alerts, on the insiders. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. There's always that stretch right before the deadline where it really kind of heats up for a few hours. I thought we were getting it last night, but it was just Utah signing all their players.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody.
Okay, take a break. This hour of Flames Talk, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hour two is around the corner, and then at 5 o'clock, it is Flames warm-up for Calgary and Dallas. We've gotten plenty of texts already today. Now we're going to spend some time reading those texts at 960, 960.